Chatbiz listeners' questions. Number 5.
So what do I do if I have had a member of staff who has gone off on the sick? I can't see them coming back. They think they're coming back. I can't sack them. I can't get rid of them. I can't actually employ somebody else because I don't know when these people are coming back. How do I manage that?
Well, I think sickness and absence, there should be ideally a sickness and absence control procedure, which in the simplest terms means that if somebody's out for a day, when they come back, you would say to them, sorry to see you've been out, I hope you're feeling better, and, you know, back to work. The second time that happens, you would sit down with them again the moment they come back and say, look, this is the second time now, and it's given us a bit of an issue, a bit of a problem, and we hope that it's not going to recur. Now, sickness absence doesn't go down the disciplinary route as such. You've got a separate procedure for sickness. So you would start the thing off on that basis. Ideally, you would have a simple form which you could get them to fill in to say why they'd been off. And you would monitor their sickness absence over a period of time. Now, some people, if they're trying it on, shall we say, would one day come in with a bad back and the next time I've had a migraine and then I've had some food poisoning or whatever. So what you really need to have in your own mind is some kind of measurement. There is such a thing in larger companies, which they use quite regularly, which is called the Bradford Index. But for smaller companies, not necessarily relevant. But what is important to try and keep tabs on the number of days people have had off. So that's the sort of the casual sickness. If that persists, then I think you would say to them, we do believe that there might be some underlying problem. We need to talk to your GP. And there's what's called an Access to Medical Reports Act, which allows the employer to ask the individual to give them permission to contact their doctor. What it also does is it gives the individual the opportunity to ask for a copy of the doctor's report before the employer sees it. And also within that, if there's something which might seriously damage the individual's makeup or views on themselves, doctors don't always have to tell them something that's really serious.
Right.
So the access to medical report situation's there.
That to me is very, very intrusive. So at what point would you invoke that?
Right. Well, as a general principle, again, if you're a small company, you might not want to go to the expense of using an occupational health advisor. It's only probably appropriate to do that when you feel that you've got a really serious condition and somebody's been off for a long time. But you would invoke it as and when you feel it was having an impact on your business.
All right.
And it's a well-established procedure. What's key in that situation then is that you would write to the GP and set out what your expectations of the individual was, both in terms of the physical aspects of the job, the mental aspects of the job, what pressures it put on them in terms of, say, for instance, driving or lifting weights or whatever, you know, these kind of things, and ask for a general view of the doctor, from the doctor, in terms of what you've actually sent out. What we used to have was what was called a sick note. And the sick note, everybody regarded as a license to be off for 2 weeks or a month or 3 months, whatever the note said from the doctor. Some years ago, that was changed, and we're now looking at a fit note. So what doctors are doing now when they send a certificate is they're actually indicating what capability somebody has to be at work.
Right.
So that's the emphasis.
But they would
changed.
Only be able to know that if they knew what the job was.
Yes, so it's incumbent upon the employer then to tell the GP, because the GP is literally, by definition, a general purpose practitioner. And they're not necessarily a specialist in manufacturing or whatever you know, sector you're in. So you need to tell them what your expectations are of the individual. And then the GP can give a view based on the fitness to perform that kind of job. And that sometimes means that the GP would suggest a referral to a consultant in extreme cases. And then you might have to agree to pay for the consultant services, but what you would probably get from that would then be a really in-depth review of the individual's health and their potential to continue working in that particular job. So that's the basic pattern. If you had somebody who's out on long-term sick, then you've got to be very clear what you can do in terms of accommodating them. I've got a case at the moment where a lady's been out for 28 days this year, and the company in question wasn't sure why she'd been off, but the absences were irregular but beginning to hurt, and they were having to take in a temporary person to cover some of her duties. So I suggested to them it might be time to consider an occupational health advisor. The occupational health advisor had a personal and confidential meeting with the individual and established that there was an underlying medical condition. This then, with that information, which the individual was prepared then to disclose to the company through the occupational health advisor, we went back to the GP. The GP then talked to a consultant. The consultant then arranged a hospital appointment, and subsequently the individual has had an operation and he's out of work now for a period of 2 or 3 weeks. And when they come back, the company's been assured that they will then be fully fit and shouldn't have any more sickness absence.
Right.
So the occupational health route can work.
Right.
And the occupational health route usually works on the basis that it's confidential. Quite often the occupational health advisor will go and see the individual at home in periods of protracted sickness. And then you get this link with the GP and with the consultant, and it's medical to medical, as it were, and then the employer gets a far better understanding of what's possible.
Mm. Did have a member of staff who went off long-term sick with depression, and she decided she just couldn't come back. So I didn't, and it was fairly dramatic for her. Mm. So, you know, I sort of had that, and I would never have thought of going to an occupational health. Her doctor just said, you cannot work for the next year. Mm. And that was it. And she just rang up and said, I can't come back.
That does become a problem. I think, generally speaking, there are two or three definitions which, in, say, HR terms, we would work to. First of all is the lower level, which is the adrenaline rush, trying to get things done within the time that you've been given by your boss, and possibly having to work late on occasion. So that produces this sort of adrenaline rush. If the work becomes burdensome, or the person's being bullied or excessively stretched, or there aren't enough hours in the day, or there aren't enough people, that's when you get stress. And if you're not careful, stress then turns into depression, which is a clinical condition. And once you get in front of the doctor with that situation, they will then assess them against the stress depression cycle. And invariably, my experience is that if a doctor then begins to suggest that the person is depressed, the course of medication they go on usually has a minimum period of 6 months. They won't take them off the tablets or the medication regime for a minimum of 6 months. So I think what's important is, if you've got somebody that's suffering from stress, for instance, I think it's important to get in relatively quickly and try and understand what's causing the problems, what are the issues, and if you can, nip that in the bud before it turns into depression.
Unfortunately for us, it was a home situation that we had no control over.
No, sure.
Except for sending a couple of bunches of beautiful big flowers to try and cheer her up. Mm. And it is, it's one of those things that, out with the workplace, I do feel that there's nothing I can do about it. I'm compassionate, but I also run the business. Which might sound a bit harsh to anybody listening, but it's not, because otherwise the stress comes on to you as an employer and makes it quite difficult. So your occupational health advisor would then step in and act as a confidant and take away that bit where the employee has to actually tell you exactly what's going on, and they would work with the doctor?
Yes.
Right. So that's a good way of getting around anything that you might find slightly embarrassing.
Yes.
Excellent. Mm. So we'll look down the occupational health services route for that. Well, thank you very much on that.
Okay, you're welcome.